Hello, ladies, and welcome back to another Bible study online here from First Church of Christ. Next week, ladies, we're going to be meeting in the library, and we have two more lessons left in our book. So I think what we'll do is finish up that video series on the 12 women of the Bible, and we'll talk about what we want to do next. Before we get started tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father God, I pray a blessing on our study. Help me to speak words of wisdom and encouragement. I pray for everybody in our church that you will bless us with health and strength and singleness of purpose. Please be with our leadership as they make the decisions on how best to go forward as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you I was going to try to base my lessons on something from the seven church letters. And this week, Bob had a sermon based on the church at Pergamum, their letter from Revelation chapter 2. And I thought it might be good if we talked about steadfastness and if we looked at some examples in the Bible of people who were steadfast. Just as a way of recall, Revelation 2, 12 and 13 says, "To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives." So one thing Jesus does is commend this church for their steadfastness. And, you know, the people of God haven't always been steadfast. Many times in the Old Testament, they fell away from following the Lord. And if you'll remember our study from Judges, that's the cycle that was true, not only in the book of Judges, but as an example, the book of Judges, but throughout the Old Testament times. The people would slip into idolatry. They would be oppressed. They would cry out to God for help. God would send a judge to deliver them. They would recommit to following God, and pretty soon they would be fallen away again. And it just seemed like a cycle in their Old Testament history. For instance, 1 Kings 18, 20 through 21, you know, Elijah is on Mount Carmel, and he's been in conflict with Ahab and Jezebel for a good while. And so he tells Ahab, bring the prophets of Baal and we'll have a contest on Mount Carmel. And in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verses 20 and 21, so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. You see, they're wavering. They're not remaining steadfast. And so it's important that we remain steadfast. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39 has something to say about being steadfast too. And the writer of Hebrews, which I think is probably Paul, is commending the people that he wrote this letter to for their steadfastness. He says in chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, he says, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So I'd like us to look at a few examples of people in the Old and New Testament who remain steadfast. The first person I'd like to talk to you about is Josiah. Now, if you remember, Josiah was a boy king. He became king when he was only 8 years old. And his story is told in 2 Kings chapter 22. When Josiah was king, eventually during his reign, he ordered that the temple be restored to its original function and purposes, and it be cleaned out and made useful again. And while they were cleaning out the temple, they found the Book of Law. And they brought the Book of Law to Josiah and read it to him, and he wept because he realized the people were not following God's law. This is what 2 Kings 22, 1 and 2 says about Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Bozkath. Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So that's an example of someone who took up the mantle of leadership when they were just a child, and they lived their life committed to following God. Second one is also from the Old Testament, and it's Job. If you remember the story of Job, Satan came to God and challenged God over Job's faith. He said, "You let me attack Job, and he will deny you." Well, of course, we know that Job, though he lost his property and his children, and he became very ill, he never denied God. And this is what Job says in Job 23, 10 through 12. "But he," meaning God, "but God knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." I hope you can say those words with Job, that you have not departed from the commands of God's lips, and that you have treasured the words of God more than your daily bread. Job leaves us a very excellent example of being steadfast, no matter what. The third example I'd like to use from the Old Testament is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you know who they are. We've talked about them. They're the three friends of Daniel. And right in the beginning of the book of Daniel, they choose, along with Daniel, not to eat food from the king's table. And they are rewarded for their steadfastness there. Later, after they finish their training, they become officials in the kingdom. But one day, the king issues a command that the golden statue he has put out in the plains are to be worshipped by everyone when they hear the sound. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to worship this image. And the punishment for refusing to worship the image is that you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. So a lot of people would be rationalizing and saying, well, I can bow before this image because God knows in my heart that I'm bowing, but I'm not worshiping. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remained steadfast in their commitment to not bow. As the old song goes, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. And this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to the king when the king asks them, you know, don't you know you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Daniel 3:16-18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Wow, that's steadfastness expressed verbally. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, do you remember the rest of the story? Nebuchadnezzar becomes so enraged, he orders the furnace being made hotter than normal. The men who take them and throw them into the furnace lose their lives because they get so close to the furnace and the heat that they're just killed. And when the people look in the furnace, they don't see just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around. They see a fourth person. Now, who was that person? Was it an angel? Was it Jesus Christ? Not sure, but it was God's protection upon them. When they were ordered to come on out of the furnace, they didn't even smell like fire. What an example of steadfastness in the face of death. Now let's go to the New Testament. Peter and John. Do you remember the story? I could sing it. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on their way. He stuck out his palm and he asked for an alms. But this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, not everybody was happy about this miracle. The people who saw it were amazed. But the Sanhedrin was not happy because the Sanhedrin knew that Peter and John had done this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they called them before them. And they told them, you got to stop teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:13-20. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Praise God that they did not stop speaking about what they have seen or heard. We wouldn't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books in the Bible if these men had stopped speaking about what they had seen and heard. Thank the Lord for the steadfastness of Peter and John. And then we want to think about Paul. Now, Paul was a latecomer to Christianity. Jesus appeared to him when he was on a trip to persecute the church, and Paul became converted. He became born again, and he became a great missionary leader. And after his third missionary trip, he's on his way to Jerusalem, but he's been warned. He has been warned over and over that if he goes to Jerusalem, he will be arrested. And on his way, he stopped to meet with the elders from Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, this is what Paul says to them. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I'm so thankful for Paul's steadfastness. And here he expresses it beautifully. His aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus had given him. Think of how many books of the Bible we would not have if Paul had chosen not to go to Jerusalem and not allow himself to be arrested and imprisoned. Aren't you thankful for Paul's steadfastness? I certainly am. And the last person we want to think about who was steadfast is the Lord Jesus himself. You know, I'm one of those people that believe that from the time Jesus was old enough to understand what was going on in the world, that he knew that he would die for our sins. And I believe that as the time drew near, he knew how he would die for our sins. He had many opportunities to turn back. When Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time to be crucified, Luke 9:51 says this: as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Resolutely. He was resolved to follow it through. He was resolved to remain steadfast in his task on earth. Here's how it's said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus approached the cross with joy. That's hard to understand, isn't it? But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I don't think the cross itself was joyful, was an occasion for joy. But Jesus had joy in his heart because he knew what he was accomplishing through his death, burial, and resurrection. He was resolute, and he did it with joy. May we be steadfast, like Jesus, with joy in our hearts. Now, what's going to happen if we remain faithful? We're going to know that we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. If you remain faithful unto death, if you live your life for Christ resolutely, if God knows the path you take, there will be rewards. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-3 is a good conclusion to this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Sisters, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we want to grow weary. Sometimes we waver and we think we're going to lose heart. But fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider Jesus' example, and consider the many witnesses around you, those who have gone on, who have led faithful lives and have received their reward. And consider those who are watching you from behind. You know the song, "May all who come behind us find us faithful." We're setting an example for those who come behind us. We need to remain steadfast always and throw off things that keep us from being steadfast followers of Christ and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the many examples of steadfastness we can find in it. And I pray, Father, that you will enable each one of us to remain steadfast. So on that day when you come and every knee bows, that we will be proud and not ashamed, because we have been faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.